episode of the Tilt Cast. Tonight, it's the spoiler cast for Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
But we're also going to talk a little bit about Hitman, so we might want to jump into that once we get through our intro, so that way anybody who doesn't want to hear anything about Assassin's Creed 3 can bugger off. So, Justin, you're over there to my left.
Yep. Just me.
Yep. Holly's not here because she hasn't played Assassin's Creed 3 yet. There's Rex. Josh was maybe going to make a return, but he can't tonight. He's a big Ass Creed fan, so...
Ass Creed?
Yeah, like that. It's Ass Creed. Anyways, so it's just going to be Justin and I for a little bit. We're going to make this a short little holiday one. So.
Yeah, I mean, we figured because it's going to be Thanksgiving, want to give you something, guys. Something, if you've already played Assassin's Creed, I know the really hardcore people have probably already played it and beat it.
Yep.
So we know that this isn't really for listens. This is really just fan service. We also recorded our last one a little bit late. Figured you'd probably listen to the normal cast, and if you want a little something extra while you're making your long drive, here you go.
Here's just kind of like whipped cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a cherry.
On top.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, that chocolate is good.
Yeah. We don't usually eat chocolate, but
we found
dark chocolate with sea salt. And it's so fucking
good. It's none of that sugary shit. It's stuff. It's...
It's manly.
Manly with salt.
There you go, another piece.
Yeah, dude. Comes in tinfoil.
Yeah, there you go. I freeze my chocolate when I eat it. That just makes it even more harsh. So, anyway, so, Justin, what have you been doing this week?
Well, really, I've just been focusing on Assassin's Creed. I didn't have as much time as you did to game, so made that my high priority, and then...
I think I had a 3-day weekend when I played it, yeah. Just barrel right through.
I mean, I haven't had more than 24 hours off in 2 weeks in a long time, so.
Yeah.
I've been busy. I'm clocking in at 116 hours this chart.
Nice.
So, maybe a little bit more.
Christmas is coming.
Well, Christmas has already came. That's why I bought that 3D TV.
Yeah.
Before Black Friday.
Yeah. And I bought my 32-inch television to be used as a computer monitor. And I played Hitman on it, and it's sweet. So
shit, forgot to turn off my sound.
Yeah, that's right. So what else have you been doing other than some Assassin's Creed work?
Well, Assassin's Creed work, I just finished Halo last night before Assassin's Creed download, or Hitman downloaded.
Pretty epic.
You know, I cried a little bit.
Really? Was it as touching as Reach?
It's on par.
Nice.
So a few things about it that I don't like as well as Reach.
Oh, yeah.
But if I was to give Reach like a 4.8 for being a nearly flawless game, I give the multiplayer slightly higher marks on this than I would Reach, even though they don't have Firefight because they have the weekly mission packs.
Yeah.
But the overall story in the game is really, really fleshed out. I really felt for Master Chief throughout the whole story. They're really humanized, and that's a really big deal to me.
Yeah.
So I'm... I don't know. It was something else. At the very end of it, I was like, "Is this really over? This is how it's going to end, huh?" Well, it was pretty touching.
Nice.
But the I just did such a good job with that game. I mean, visually it looks great. Probably one of the best looking games on 360 of all time. Really.
Now you got that LED in there too.
And part of it could be the new TV, the new LED 3D. Yeah. But
I wish they would have done that in 3D though. That's the thing, is they didn't make it 3D. Capable. Maybe they'll end up doing a version way later, because sometimes they put out a 3D version of a game afterwards, so who knows.
Well, the anniversary edition is supposed to be in 3D, so I might check that out.
Yeah.
But,
see if they got anything. Well, also, I've been just keeping an eye out for news on anything that says it might come out with a version, so who knows. I think they did, like, was it Batman Arkham Asylum 3D?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
it'd be worth checking out.
They had a 3D version of it, I just don't remember it being in the initial release of it. I think it was for the Game of the Year edition.
Well, essentially the 3D editions, at least on 360, and I don't know if it does this on PS3, but 360 doesn't quite have the processor to put it at full resolution. So it knocks it down to about, well, it depends on your 3D. I have an active 3D TV, which you have those crazy glasses that flicker like 10,000 times a second or something crazy to kind of adjust for the color scheme or the 3D intensity. But they pair up with the refresh rate on your monitor or on your computer or your TV, so you actually don't... I didn't really even notice any tearing or anything like that, but it drops it down to, let's say, like a third less resolution, and it dropped the refresh rate down. So That's why you were seeing a little bit of the artifacting where I was showing Assassin's Creed 3D. It's just because of that. But overall, like, it could be the TV just because when I was playing Halo, I was like, holy shit, this looks good.
Well, the depth makes up for it, though, with a lot of that. Because, I mean, when I was running through New York,
yeah,
you can just see all the way down, and it just feels like there's actual depth.
Like,
you're
jumping from the different ledges and stuff, it feels like
yeah, that. But even down the street, just running down the street, it's just really impressive. You see things moving down there, like a carriage coming up, and you actually kind of feel you can kind of see the three dimensions here, and you're just like, wow, that's really amazing the way they did that. And to me, it almost makes me feel like you're actually paying more attention to what's off in the distance.
Yeah.
So you're actually more aware and perceptive of what's going on. So you see a group of guards before you normally would in 2D, because you're really focusing on what's going on back there rather than just watching around you, which is kind of nice.
It really pops it out. It's not like it's popping quite out of your TV. Just it feels, the sense of depth is definitely there.
It's a confined little three-dimensional scope, so.
But more so than playing with 3D, I mean, obviously I've been checking out Hitman. I got through the first level tonight, or last night, and I'm probably going to play through more of it this tonight.
Now, speaking of that, we all knew that they were going to go a certain way with that game, with him going after, what was her name? His old contact from the agency, which kind of makes it more, once again, you're talking about, you know, humanizing a character that's, you know, legacy in a way, Master Chief. It's like they're almost humanizing Agent 47 as well in a way. So, which they touched on before. I think it was in Assassin's Creed 2 whenever he's staying at the church and the Padre.
You mean Hitman Blood Money?
Was that Blood Money where the Padre?
Yeah,
okay,
Assassin's Creed 2.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, not Assassin's Creed 2. I'm sorry. No, sorry. Getting confused here. Yeah, no, but in Hitman, whenever they kidnap the Padre and he kind of goes on a vengeful thing. But,
yeah, it's kind of the same. It's kind of set up kind of the same way. Again, I'm not going to really go too far into that because that's not the spoiler cast we're doing. It just came out. But that's how it starts out. And I only have one issue with it, but it's something that could be patched, really. And that's just the checkpointing system on it.
Yeah, because you can actually define them now.
Well, right. But I noticed that a checkpoint and everything respawned. I didn't have any of the stuff that I had before. That irritated me.
I didn't have that happen. I talk about world objects you pick up, like if you pick up a mission object, like say pills.
And not something like I had a couple of guns that I picked up off a guard or whatever, and I had hit a checkpoint. And there's a little random spots you see throughout the game world that says, it's highlighted and it says you can checkpoint here. And you can choose to do so. And I chose to do so, and then I respawned because I was like, I'm just going to back up a little bit. And I did that, and there was a guy that spawned right next to me, the guy that I had taken out before he hit the checkpoint. And all the guys behind him had respawned too.
Now, I noticed in the first mission, which is a training mission, that when you walk into the upper level area where that checkpoint is, there's a group of guys who are having a conversation, and he's giving a lecture, and you can go to that spawn point, and you can grab the item, you know. And you go and you hit the checkpoint. I've noticed, you know, I already sat through that entire conversation, listened to them, and went and checkpointed, and it respawned them all in their initial starting area, so I had to sit through the entire conversation again that one of them was having in the kitchen area before I could cut back through. And I noticed that. I didn't notice anything missing out of the inventory, though, because I wasn't really killing anybody. I was just going full stealth all the way through.
I was having fun with it, but yeah. I had a lot of fun with, like, I really fucked up in one spot. Again, I was trying to play through it really, really quickly this morning, so it took forever to download.
Yeah, it did.
Well, we had internet problems last night, too, but, I mean, it was like a 13-gig download.
13-gig download, and it
took me, like, 3.5 hours.
Well, I just purchased Windows 8 and installed it, so I actually had to go back through and reinstall a lot of my graphics software and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
To get my computer back on par, and so I was having to kind of pause the download every once in a while, and it was taking me. It took me, I think, about 4.5 hours to do the whole fucking install. So,
but I mean, overall, it looks really good. Notice there wasn't a lot of repeat models for crowds when I got to the next part after that.
Oh yeah, that was really awesome. Walking through those gates, and there's just tons of people walking around.
But the one thing I did like, and this is in the training mission. So for people that are playing it right now, you probably already know what I'm talking about. You come up to some gardeners and some guards.
Right.
I totally foobarred that whole area.
Did you walk in
everybody.
As a guard?
I walked in as a guard, but I didn't know that it was going to use up my superpower meter or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Instinct.
Yeah, the instinct meter. And so I used it all up walking past one of those guys, and then somebody noticed me, and I was like, fuck. So I took a hostage and killed everybody. And then I realized that there's a wood chipper.
Okay.
So I opened up the wood chipper and just started tossing bodies in, and I thought, okay, so I need to toss two in here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go somewhere else and toss another two, whatever. But I didn't realize it said hit Y to activate, so I had to activate. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it just chipped them all up, so I just kept throwing bodies in the wood chipper.
Nice.
But...
I just grabbed the gardener's outfit and they let me walk right in, and I was able to walk all the way to the back and proceed on through the next area.
Yeah, so, I totally foobarred that area. Yeah. There's a lot of little nods. Like, there's a conversation about a conversation a guy's having in the window before you throw him out the window.
I didn't throw him out the window. I felt too happy for him because he got good news. I didn't want to throw him out the window. So I let him walk
that
away.
On another cast,
yeah, so I let him walk away and I just snuck in and I took out the other guy. So
I felt really funny. I was like, ha, the irony.
Yeah,
some of the humor is definitely back. The checkpointing system is the only thing I really have issue with, but looks good. It plays better than Hitman has before.
Oh yeah, most definitely. The counter system's pretty cool.
I don't want people to think it's very Gears of War, which it's not.
No.
But it's one of those things where before when you drag a body, it was always really awkward. Then you have to find a way to kind of dump them. So you had to get like right on the right spot before it lets you put them in a closet or whatever. And this, it's pretty much like you get right up next to something. It's just you hold Y and you eat.
Yeah. It's all buttons now. It's like if you take a guy out next to you, like on a veranda, and you drag his body up to the railing, it'll show a Y and you just hold that down and you can throw him over the side. You can
you
also
wouldn't, like, get his legs stuck over and have him hanging halfway off.
Or he wouldn't start vibrating really oddly. Another one I really liked was there was the other dude when you walk in that first area. I killed one of them with a knife, which was awesome as shit, because you can now throw sharp weapons.
Oh, I haven't tried throwing the knife.
It's pretty awesome. This guy, I just held down left trigger, and it highlighted his head, and I just threw this thing and just fucking knife right in the head, and the narrator goes, clean kill. Which is only in the training area of that. And I put on his outfit, and I walked over the other dude, and just walked up behind him and said, A to push. So I pushed him, and just he went flying over the fucking balcony and just threw him over the side. And it was pretty fucking badass. So definitely the sadistic nature.
I'm gonna have a lot of fun. I can't wait to get the chicken suit or the samurai suit or
I
remember seeing in the previews where there was him. He was in like a samurai suit of armor, like hiding out in a museum.
Nice.
Which stuff like that just
it's funny.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, definitely I'm really interested, and I'm not gonna get a chance to play it tonight because I'm doing some construction on my desk. But tomorrow it's my last day for the week. For the holidays, so I'm going to hopefully dig into it during my Thanksgiving break.
Did you get a chance to see if it had supported 3D?
I haven't checked yet, no. I just went and set my settings. I think it does, actually, yeah. Because I remember I went into my settings and I put them in Ultra, and then I think I saw something about 3D setup, so I just, skipped it. And
because I'm going to try this out on the TV tonight.
Go for it. You should also try Witcher.
Yeah,
Witcher 2. But no, anyways, so Hitman, we'll have more on that next week when we can all come back from Turkey comas. But so far, it's looking great.
Yeah, we got a lot to do. I mean, we're going to release this Wednesday, and I'll put it up in the morning.
Sweet, yeah.
This is actually Tuesday night, so we're going to put this up Wednesday so that if anybody wants to download it before they leave or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got a thing we're doing with our friend Vanessa and Brian tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. I got family on Thursday, and then I have more family stuff or whatever on Friday, so.
Definitely. So, let's go ahead and jump into what everybody who is here for the spoiler cast is waiting for. And let's talk about the new Mario game.
Yep, and we're going to give you a warning right now, from here on out.
All spoilers.
Spoilers.
Yep.
So, you get 5 seconds.
For Mario Brothers, it's all spoilers. And Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed
3, yeah.
So that sounds like a good 5 seconds right there.
So,
you
hey
know,
yo! Turn it off.
The ending of that game was awesome.
Yeah. That was actually, did I not tell you it was epic? I beat the game, and I kept telling, when are you going to beat it? And luckily I was there when you beat it, and I got to just watch it with him. I was like, was that not fucking cool? So we'll get to that here in a minute. Let's jump into some of our more favorite moments of the game.
Well, I mean, with Assassin's Creed, you've been watching, God, I can't remember his name. Who's
Which one?
The main character.
Desmond Miles.
Miles. Kind of watching him develop throughout the games. Mm-hmm. I mean, in one, the game was kind of janky. The controls weren't great. But the story was pretty good.
There really was no backstory for him whatsoever. So.
No, and then you kind of find out a little bit more about that in two.
Mm-hmm.
And so in two, Ezio ended up being a pretty decent character that I continue it on, so that spawned three discs.
See, I really, for me, it's like Ezio and Assassin's Creed 2. You get to see him, you know, from baby up to rebellious teenager to, you know, watching his entire family get slaughtered.
Right, but it's all that whole, like, rich boy story the first time around when you're going through Ezio's life.
Yeah, but all he wants is revenge, and you kind of see the story that develops through everybody. Like, Altair wanted to, regain his master's trust and basically, you know, serve the order again because he had fucked up and he got a second chance. Ezio, it was all about revenge. Connor, it's all about revenge.
Yeah,
and,
but...
Oh, go ahead.
More so than that, though, I mean, the big difference I see between Ezio and Connor is where Ezio was the rich kid that had a lot of connections. Connor was, you know, the poor Native American kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that just grew up from the sticks that went out to kind of seek revenge or seek to get, you know, make sure that his people didn't disappear off the face of the earth.
And that was the thing I was going to say is with the revenge is that Ezio was all about revenge and slowly matured and learned that there was a lot more than just personal, you know, vendettas, that there's a lot more at stake, and actually embraced that, became basically a noble assassin, is what he was. Connor, throughout the entire game, is kind of struggling with that. Everybody keeps telling him, you know, your agenda falls in line with these people and what they're trying to do, so help them, and it'll help you in the end, but he always just kept getting really pissed off and, you know, just really antsy about the whole thing and being kind of a dick. He was a good character, I liked him, but he was kind of a dick.
Yeah,
you know,
I do like one thing that started off with his father first, and I thought, where's this going?
We totally I forgot about that, Hathan. Yeah, okay, so the game starts, for those who have played, obviously know.
Well, you're listening to spoiler cast.
Yeah, but there's also people there who just want to hear it. You know, you start off in England. You know, and it's
play.
Cigarette just broke. Yeah, you go to a play and you're assassinating a guy there, and you walk out, and the entire time you're like, okay, this is pretty kick ass. I just took out some big ass motherfucking Templar, blah blah blah, kick ass. Now I'm gonna go to America. That's cool. You go to America, you hook up with all these people that you have to recruit one by one, and at the very end of doing this, you find out this is just the intro to the game, and you're a fucking Templar.
I know, and like it's kind of disappointing. You're wondering too, because who's that one guy that's always talking about that's really big into money?
Oh, Charles Lee? No. Charles Lee is the main villain in the end. You're thinking of the one with the really bad accent. Shit, forgot his goddamn name. He has a really stupid fucking name too. Can't remember, but he's a total fucking dick. And he's basically mercenary almost in a way.
Well, you find out, like, all these people you're recruiting have, like, really bad motives.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wondering, you're like, what's my character going to be like? Because I thought at that point that was going to be the assassin.
Yeah, because you couldn't tell if it was him or not. And
you're thinking to yourself, I could see that. I mean, you put the hood on him, he kind of looks like my
character. Charles Lee is the only one out of the entire group that you're... Because he's the most... He's not even really... He's not part of whatever order it is you're in.
Well, and then there's a point where you assassinate, like, a British general or whatever, and you're like, okay, I can kind of see where this is going. Maybe he's kind of coming from really dark beginnings or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you meet up with the Native American girl, and then you have the kid... You find out that kid is you.
Yeah.
That's Connor. You're like,
Well, you don't even have a kid. It's, they go to the tomb, the vault.
Yeah.
And it kind of fades out from there, and then it comes back, and it's years later, and you're this fucking kid now, which you obviously know is Hathan's son, but you're playing him, and you're learning how to run through the trees, you're learning how to do all this stuff, and...
Like, I remember at one point, I was trying to run through trees with
Hathan.
Yeah,
and
Hathan.
It just kept fucking up.
I was like, what the hell?
I figured it was, once the Native American girl came into it, I figured that what would end up happening was...
I thought
that... They would train me how to do it if I was going to stick with this character.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get some kind of training in.
Yeah.
Then it says, and then it comes back to the meeting, and it says, then you find out they're all Templars.
Yeah, because the initiative
is Charles
Lee.
And then you get that achievement that says, how do you like those apples?
Yeah, how do you like those apples, yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny, but... Mm-hmm. That's that twist, and that it starts off slow. I mean, that game took me about 3 or 4 hours to get to that point.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh,
yeah." I was like, "That's a good fucking twist." I enjoyed it because it's now you know all the bad guys that are in the game intimately.
Yeah,
yeah, and of course, you know, as a kid, you start off as Connor, and you run into Charles Lee, who was part of your father's group, and that's when, and his initiation is when you find out that they're actually Templars. And he's changed. I mean, he starts off as this kind of like really kind of cool character. You like him a lot. He's just trying to get in into what order you think is the Assassins at the time by helping them out as much as possible. And here you see him now, and he's just twisted and fucked up, and he threatens to kill you, and then burns down your entire fucking family village and kills your mother. And the whole game kind of revolves around you seeking revenge on Charles Lee without knowing at the time that there's a lot more involved. So, what was that one dude's fucking name? Did you figure it out yet?
No.
I hate that guy. He has some stupid fucking name. So, but, let's see. The game itself, for the Revolution, I enjoyed, because we were all kind of wondering how they were going to approach the Templars versus the Assassins in, you know, in the British versus America, you know, independence. And we were like, they could go either way with this, and it could be really delicate. I like the little midway that they kind of
traveled. They followed a line, and really what they did is they said, you know, there's good and bad guys on both sides, really. Mm-hmm. And the Templars weren't really working for the British. The Assassins weren't really working for the colonists. It was just, they were good and bad for both. But, I mean, Connor really is working for the colonists in a way.
Well, he's working for the, was it the Brothers of Freedom?
Right.
Yeah, which was like Samuel Adams and Hancock and all them. And the people who basically penned the Declaration of Independence and wanted to foster the American nation's independence from England. And it's one of those things where his goals of basically taking out Charles Lee and all them kind of fell along the lines of what the colonists wanted, so that's why they were using him. And of course, at the time that Connor comes around, the Assassins are pretty much gone. The Order's dead. There's only one left, and he's an old fucking man, so it's like, had it not been for Connor, the entire Assassin line would have pretty much died out with Davenport.
Right, yeah. And it's a weird twist because Davenport's really disenfranchised with the whole thing. He doesn't know if he wants to do it.
Yeah.
You got to sit there and really, really convince him that you want to be part of the Order and you want to...
It's kind of like Fight Club, because you sleep outside of his fucking house for like 3 days.
Yeah.
That's what I kept thinking of the entire time. Yeah, your tits are too big, old man. Yeah. The entire time, yeah, with Bob Ass Bitch Tits.
Yeah, yeah.
And you finally convince him, and he brings you into train, and of course you... You know, you go through all the training crap, and years go by, and you're real snarky about it. He's giving you all these skills and all these tools.
You're like, I can do it all.
Yeah, I can do everything. I don't need you. You haven't given me anything, blah, blah, blah. And because you feel that the process is going too slow. Like I said, Connor's kind of a dick. And,
he really doesn't have a changing point until he gets captured, and then you got to break out of jail.
No, yeah, which is awesome. Or, yeah.
Well, you don't necessarily break out of jail. You get all the way up to the fucking noose.
Yeah.
And that's when that whole scene was just something fucking
epic. Yeah, that was awesome. All slow mo, walking through the crowd, just chasing that dude. Yeah, that's when you first go to New York, and that's just fucking amazing. And let's see, the homestead, which is basically, you know, in Assassin's Creed 2 and 3 and so on, you had Montagliano or something like that, town. And they replaced that with this homestead that Davenport lives on. And you can basically go out and you can recruit people to come there and live.
You need little missions so that they can establish a community.
Yeah, exactly. And you get a church and a blacksmith, carpenter, tailor, all that shit. But one of the best things is you get your own fucking boat.
Yeah.
You get your own naval battleship that you can deck out and take it out in the high waters and do freaking naval battles with British ships, man of wars. Longboats, all that crap, and that was, we talked about that on the other cast, and it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, just
awesome.
There's been a couple of funny moments I've had with it. I've hit some of those rogue waves head on.
Mm-hmm.
I had one rise up behind me, and I was going full speed. Then I just went ahead and stopped for whatever reason. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
probably fucked up on my button presses, but I hit full stop while this wave's building behind me, and it flipped my boat. Like my whole boat did like a. I guess it would have been a 360.
No, I never got flipped.
But like a flip forward and then end over end, then a landed again on right side up.
Nice.
But that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Playing and that in 3D is also really interesting.
But I like the way they tie the naval battles in, where it's a lot of them you're doing different things, you know. It's kind of like the same as in Assassin's Creed 2 and 3, sorry, 2 and Brotherhood and Revelations, you're sending off your assassins to go off and do little missions. On the side, you can also do these to go off and do little missions. You can also still recruit assassins and send them off on missions, which I actually didn't even do as much as I did in the other games, because it was just kind of a side note to me, you know?
Yeah, I didn't really do that as much either in this game. Yeah. I kind of wish I had in some way, just for the completionist part of me. But
yeah, same here, yeah.
Like, I still got to go back and do all the feathers, liberate a lot of stuff. I just barreled through it. The last half of that game, I was just trying to beat it so I could be on this cast.
And it's a pretty long game. It's over 20 hours, about 24 hours long for me beating it. And I got a lot of stuff done that were side crap.
So I'm at, 65% complete, and I probably put about 25 hours in.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at my completion rate yet, but... but the frontier itself, I mean, there's an actual frontier map area that's just huge. That's got a lot of just small little towns and houses and crap. Nothing really worth naming.
One of the things I like is you run into a group of frontiersmen and you get these frontier missions.
Yeah.
You're like, one was to find the UFO that ended up being an umbrella and a tree.
Yeah, it's just all tall tales, like Bigfoot.
And, which is a guy living in a cave.
Yeah, a guy living in a cave, you know. And they just tell you these really... You sit at the campfire and they tell you these just really amazing stories, you know, tall tales. And then you go off and you investigate it and debunk it.
Like the one about the giant squid that ended up being the diving suit?
Yeah, the diving suit. Yeah, I actually spent some time just running through doing nothing but those when I first found them because they were so fun. And
I didn't complete all of those, but those were pretty cool.
Yeah, then they also have the Hunter's Lodge one where there's basically, they talk about, somebody will talk about some really just wild animal that's out there that you have to go and track and find. And that's another thing is the tracking. I actually enjoyed the tracking of animals where you can set traps. You can...
I like doing air assassinations on rabbits.
Yeah, air assassinations on rabbits and cougars was pretty fucking awesome. Even deer and bears. But... Like there's one, I think one of the first hunting lodge one you get is for a cougar.
Yeah, that was the one I ever got done.
Yeah, that one, that was a pain in the ass because that fucker could run. And you just basically have to take it out and kill it, and then, you know, you turn it in, you get the reward, and then you go forward to the next one, and it just gets increasingly hard. The game blew me away, just, you know, with all
the scope of it's pretty big.
Yeah.
It's... Definitely one of the larger ones, and the thing I had a problem with Brotherhood and with Revelations is more stuck in one town,
more centralized.
Whereas this kind of is a quest across the colonies, and you didn't really get that before in a lot of the other games. So it's just kind of something interesting to do it that way. Obviously, graphically and all that stuff, it's impressive, but the game, the meat of the content itself is amazing.
Yeah. So, and let's jump into the actual content now, since we discussed our lust for the actual gameplay. So for those who haven't played the game, of course, you've made your way through Brotherhood, where you got the apple. You moved into Revelations, where you went to the vault and woke up, you know, right by the end. And now you're actually in the vault.
Well, and it was kind of weird because, I still, the whole thing with Lucy, now she's really dead.
Yeah, she really is dead, and is she really a Templar?
I don't know.
Exactly, you still don't know. They still left that cock tease hanging from fucking Brotherhood, so...
But it was weird because it's like, you're in a coma, and then you wake up, and you're basically in this game.
Yeah.
It really does pick up right where the other one left off.
Yeah, and it's... It's one that's just really interesting. I remember, I think it's as soon as you walk into the vault, you start having the flashbacks from colonial times, and then they just show you in the Animus, and boom, you're there. It's like the vault wanted you to be in that particular time because it wanted you to find that key.
I liked how it just starts basically animating everything as soon as you get in there. It starts bleeding into it.
Yeah, it reminds me of, I think it was in part two when you're walking around in... facility area, and you see, I think there was a horse-drawn wagon just come freaking flying at you down a hallway, all ghost mode.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that's like the first time you see bleed through, and you're just like, oh, that's fucked up. And when you jump in, of course, you know, you're inside this vault, you've got the apple that got you in there, but now there's another piece you gotta fucking find that looks like a freaking vanilla wafer with a hole cut in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it's a key. And as you, I was really impressed with just the amount of story they shoved into the actual Animus, but also the amount of story they shoved outside of it. As you talk to Juno, as you plug in more batteries for the facility, and you find out all the efforts they tried to make to stop this solar flare from wiping out
the Earth.
Yeah,
we didn't really pick up on that. You don't really know what's going on until about 2 hours into the game, you find out you're trying to basically stop a world-changing event.
Yeah, which aligns with December 21st, 2012.
Yeah, and they bring up that date, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, which I actually like that. You know, I thought it was pretty nice the way they tied it all in.
It was kind of clever to do that, release the game like 2 months before that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, and but I really liked hearing Juno go on and on and on about all the things to try to do, and even using her own husband or whatever he would be called as a test subject to try and stop this impending doom that happened. You know, I can't remember how long it's supposed to be, but yeah,
thousands of years ago.
Yeah, it's like 54,000 years or something, and all the crap they did, and of course, you know, in the past, I mean. You heard of Minerva, and I think it was Assassin's Creed 2,
right.
Whenever you ran into Juno as Ezio. They mentioned Minerva and how she's evil, and she's can't be trusted. And I love the way that this game kind of progressed through showing how Juno tried to save everything. And you actually do get to hear from Minerva on her side of things about what she did, which is what we're going to get to at the end, because the end is just so epic. So,
I don't know, there's... This game versus the other games, like, you really try to tie a lot of stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of the sequences as you're going through the game. You have, excuse me, Desmond playing the part of an assassin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like in Brazil, when you go to a soccer game, and you're actually running through a soccer stadium with your hidden blades. Very minimal HUD. There's no HUD really at all.
There's no HUD.
Well, you can see when people are aware of you, but other than that, you can't say anything, and you're just taking cues from your team, telling you, you know, go through the door at the end of the hallway. At the end of this area, you're going to take a ride, and you just kind of make your way through there, and then you're fighting people, you know.
Well, there's no cues on the fighting aside from body movement, so you kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
You've been used to it. I mean, you've been, quote-unquote, training in the Animus this whole time, so.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really amazing when you're doing these levels. I really enjoyed those, and that's what a lot of us wanted to see, I think, was modern-day Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
we got to get a little taste of it. Just a little taste of it. I'm hoping, you know, we get to get it with somebody else. Since this is a spoiler cast, Desmond is gone. So, maybe.
They left that question hanging.
They definitely did leave that question hanging. Because at the end of the game, I mean, when you're faced with that option, and I can see a lot of people who are the RPGers who do play Assassin's Creed bitching, because they're like, I didn't get a choice to
choose between Juno or Minerva.
Yeah, Juno or Minerva, because, you know, Juno says, if you let the flare take everybody out, you'll survive and you'll come back basically as Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're going to become like this, Messiah type figure.
And you're going to lead the world into an age of enlightenment, but later on your words are going to be twisted and people are going to use it for evil just like they did before. That's the price you pay, but at least you tried and you did what you could. Or you can let Minerva out and she'll stop the flare, but Minerva's evil and powerful and is going to enslave everybody. And he chose Minerva.
He's like, I'll choose the evil I know.
Yeah, he's like, well, even that way, he doesn't know. That's the thing. He has no idea what the precursors can do. That's the curiosity, because you're like, what is she? I mean, if she could stop an entire fucking solar flare with an aurora borealis, what else can she fucking do? You know?
Which is basically what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting for Assassin's Creed 4 if it's in modern time to have a precursor who's basically just enslaving the entire world.
Well, we had talked about it a little bit outside of the cast. They talked about it in the game, about going back to ancient times or whatever.
They mentioned, yeah, I remember it's Merchant's character, I forgot his name, Douglas or whatever, asked, you know, Desmond, when this is all over, do you mind getting in the Animus and let me crank this all the way back to zero, all the way back to ancient times, to see how far it'll go? And I remember one of the big things with Desmond Miles was that, if I remember, his bloodline actually is supposed to, I think, run all the way back to the Precursor's time.
Yeah.
So it's possible to do it with him, but if he's dead, they'd have to use somebody else, like his father. So,
right.
He does play a pretty big role in this one. I was kind of glad to see that. So, and it would be interesting to see the Animus generating the Precursor Society and running around just like the video clips of Adam and Eve in Assassin's Creed 2.
Right.
Yeah, when you're running around. Be interesting to actually find out that story when the apple was stolen. Because if they have biblical stories mirror what actually slightly mirror what happens in real life in this game. And Adam and Eve, you know, took the apple, you know, then and that caused them to be exiled. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of play that story into it. Like, what was their exile? Were they exiled? Did the precursors just stop communicating with modern man and let them fend for themselves, or what? You know?
Yeah.
So, I'm interested to see that. But I think we covered pretty much the main story there.
Yeah. I was looking through some of the Dev Note stuff. There's been talk of maybe doing like World War II or Feudal Japan or Egypt.
No, really?
I guess that's what fans were wanting, and they said, well, those are the worst things that they could possibly do.
I wouldn't want to do
they
Egypt.
Were thinking about maybe doing Pakistan or ancient India or something
like
that.
Yeah, like World War II, I wouldn't want to see. I'm kind of tired of the, when I say modern wars, I mean over the past 100 years. And, you know, we had Saboteur, which came out, which was a lot of climbing and running around throughout, you know, France and everything, and it just feel like it was too reminiscent of that. Ancient India would be kind of interesting.
Ancient Babylon would be kind of interesting.
That'd be interesting. Samaria. Of course, they really couldn't build that tall of buildings back at that time.
Right.
Those would be fine if they went back to those times, but I really, really want to see Precursor going back to the Zero, basically. Seeing what happens. I mean, they even brought it up in the fucking game.
It'd be like Tarzan, man, just running through the trees.
Yeah. But, I mean, if they brought it up in the game dialogue, then it's something they've obviously thought about. So it's an obvious, you know.
It could be a lead, too, though. I mean, they could be like, oh, this is what's going to happen, so that whatever they do next just completely blows you out of the water.
Yeah, exactly.
But they've talked about even doing a total of 10 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you think about it, so far they're at 5.
Yeah.
They could easily take this into a new character with a new, you know, to pick up the destiny that Desmond had, you know.
Yeah, they could also even jump forward, since basically the Earth is technically saved for another 54,000 whatever fucking years.
I think they have a like for history, though, because with history, people can relate to the characters a lot.
Well, no, I'm not talking about the Animus forward. I'm talking about taking the modern day person forward and the Animus going back to, you know, our time. They could have a descendant of Desmond Miles, for instance.
You could do,
200 years from now, going back to the time of whenever Desmond Miles died. You know.
Well, you could do something even like pre-Depression New York or something like that.
Yeah.
Like something like back in the early teens or 20s or something like that.
You know, a guy rolling around with a bowler hat.
Yeah.
Climbing up fucking old popper hat and shit and suspenders.
Yeah.
Just running around. Yeah. Throwing out money. Yeah, that would work. You throw money on the ground, people are going to
New York City.
Yeah, there's going to be a crowd going up against Rockefeller, everybody, and all of, yeah.
It would be a Templar.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious. The banks. The banks collapsing where it was all the Templars. Anyway, that would actually be pretty funny. It'd be interesting to see where they go with it. Also, with Miles technically out of the picture, Desmond, what they're going to do for a new lead.
Just pick up a new character. I mean, at this point, totally have that open, and they've done so well with the franchise. I mean, I know there's a lot of spinoff games or whatever, but the main story canon so far has been fairly good. As much as I bitch about Revelations, it's much better than a lot of other games.
Yeah.
It's just compared to 2, and even compared to Brotherhood, it just, to me, was a little bit of a letdown.
Well, one thing I was happy about that I didn't see repeated from Revelations was Revelations had a lot of the Michael Bay oh shit moments, you know, just over the top kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And where it was just a full cinematic experience, like when you're getting dragged behind the wagon and crap, and
yeah,
they took all that out. They don't have a lot of the stuff that you would see in Brotherhood, like when you're doing the Da Vinci's flying machine bombing. They took stuff like that out. And just kind of went back to what Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 had, which was just the story-driven, you're in control of what you're doing.
But there's been some decent ship moments, like when you get on that frozen ship.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually really cool, to escape a ship that's basically just disintegrating into the water.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the coolest moments I had in that game, was the frozen ship.
Did you go through the entire Captain Kidd stuff and get the item?
No, I didn't get all the way through it.
Do you care if I say what it is?
It's a spoiler cast.
Okay. It's a ring that's a precursor artifact that actually deflects metal.
So bullets.
Bullets and swords. It lowers the chance of you actually being hit by anything. So, and what they say is that they figure that it was actually a personal shield device worn by precursors to protect themselves. So when you wear it, you're less likely to get hit by fire, gunfire, or sword attacks. So it's kind of handy. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, the Captain Kidd thing was a neat little item hunt thing.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish there were some of the puzzles like they had in 2.
Yeah, where you're going into the buildings and...
Yeah, I wish there were more of that stuff, the little bit of a dungeon crawl you had.
Yeah.
Because you didn't really have that in 3.
Well, also, in this time, I mean, a lot of those buildings weren't big, you know, aren't big enough to house a lot of the climbing puzzles.
Well, they kind of offset that by going through some of the caves and things like that, and that was all right.
Well, the cave system that had worked out in, like, the frontier was amazing, because, like, you'll be running, you'll be at the bottom of a cliff, and you'll find a cave entrance. You run through, and you just wind around, and then you find yourself climbing upward, and boom, you're on top of the mountain. And you're just like, holy shit, that's awesome. Shortcut. And you just get moving. Unfortunately, it didn't tag it for me. I wish it would have actually marked it on my map as a shortcut so I could use it again later.
So. But, I mean, the game overall, I mean, just the naval battles, everything else, it's a pretty easy contender for Game of the Year now for me.
It's a top-notch game.
Yeah. It's definitely my top three right now.
It's up there with, like, Mass Effect. And
it was as good as Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, Hitman might end up being up there just because I'm liking what I mean, I've only gone through 2 missions, but I'm really into what I'm seeing right now, especially comparing it to Hitman 1, 2, you know, Blood Money Contracts, all that. So, but Assassin's Creed, I'm real happy with the way they reclaimed it, and so I took it back over and continued it, you know. They did a really good job, and the story is tight as hell, and it falls in line with a lot of the crap they had. Like in Assassin's Creed 2, they actually showed a portrait of George Washington with the apple in one of the puzzles.
Yeah.
Ties in with that because it even says that he gets the apple at some point. If you read a lot of the stuff that's in the game as well as inside the book that came with it, if you have a special edition, it falls in line with it.
Well, so. And there's like the whole thing of the power of the apple. You had the power of the apple at the end of the 2 in Brotherhood.
Yeah. Yes.
Which was and at this epic. Point, at this point, you find the apple in this game as modern day Desmond.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I forgot about that.
You walk out with the apple as people are just dying around.
Well, you go back to Abstergo. So you're actually running through Abstergo in modern day assassin climbing around, and you just yank the apple out while these Abstergo guards around and just start zapping them and making them blow their own heads off. Just row after fucking row of them. Boom, 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 all the way to the fucking front door, and you're like, that was epic. That was epic. I was also very happy to put a bullet through that motherfucker's head, the fucking dickhead doctor from the first game.
Yeah.
Forgot his fucking name. I was happy to watch him die. So, that made me happy. And then they brought in that new character, Cross.
Yeah.
Who was used to be an assassin, and then switched over to Templars. And that's another thing I realized about this game is there's a lot of switching. They talk about a lot of people who betrayed one order and went to the other, and they really bring up that fine line between right and wrong about, like, you know, ultimately it's always said that the Templars want the same thing as the Assassins. They just
their
want to find
different
means. Their means are different. One wants to basically control information and knowledge in order to bring peace. The other one wants people to know everything in order to bring peace, and their methods are a little bit different. And you see that whenever there's the point in the game where Connor actually meets up with his dad. And rather than kill him, they end up actually going to work together for a little bit. And he sees his dad's methods, and he's a little disgusted by them, the way he just relentlessly kills people who don't deserve to die. Which was, you know, of course, against the number one rule of the Assassin's Order is, you know, don't kill the innocent. But you see Connor start to kind of notice this really ambiguous line between the two of them and how easy it is to kind of make that switch between Templar to Assassin and Assassin to Templar. You know, you can really kind of see it. And I like how they did a lot of that. Played really into the treacherous sides basically treason and dishonor is what they played into a lot. Which you basically look at the Revolutionary War and from the perspective of England, you know, we basically committed treason.
Well, and it flashes back to that because somebody, Congress gives his homeland away.
Yeah.
as part of the Frontier expansion.
Yeah, and that basically after everything he did to help them, boom, Washington was the one who fucked them the entire time. He was the one who, if I remember, who ordered for his entire village to be burned. And you're just like, they play a lot into that entire being betrayed by people you trust, just as England must have felt whenever the colonists said, you know, we've had a little bit enough of this, we're going to go ahead and revolt. And it's interesting seeing it from both sides, because you kind of really do, since you're skirting that fine line between patriots and redcoats. You kind of get to see both sides, especially if you listen to the conversations that people are having and all that. And you kind of think to yourself, wow, the colonists were kind of dickbags. I mean, all power to them for what they did, but some of them were kind of dickbags in the game, at least, you know.
Yeah.
Not in real life, but... as much as Ubi tries to bring a little bit of history into each game, you have to remember that it's also a little bit dramatized to make it more interesting.
You have to remember they're French.
Yeah, they are French. But Charles Lee, I think, in my opinion, I told you this.
He was a awesome bad guy.
I told you, man. When you finally figured out that it was Charles Lee was the bad guy, I said, that guy, and I said on the podcast we were talking about, that the main bad guy, in my opinion, is just... epically badass.
Well, I thought it was going to be more of a Darth Vader story. I thought it was more going to be kind of pitted against his dad, and there is that. But Charles Lee is the real...
And he is a fucking son of a bitch. And he...
A fucking sociopath.
All the animations, like the cinematics, whenever it's showing him and just how fucking twisted and evil he is, you're just, like, blown away by, one, the facial expressions, the animation they did on him is just profound. The direction is great as hell during, like, you know, that entire chase scene where you chase him through the boat at the end that's on fire, and you beat the crap out of each other, and he's just like, you know, why do you continue to fight? And then you just pull out that gun and shoot him right in the fucking gut, you know? And in the end, you track him to that freaking bar, and you're both just, you don't even chase him anymore. You just walk up, because you both have holes in your bodies.
Yeah.
And you just put the knife down on the table and sit down, and he offers you a drink, and then you just stab him right in the fucking... Because he knows it's over. He's like, fuck it, I'm done. I kind of like that, just, you know, the bad guy who's so fucking badass and so evil that in the end he just knows that he's finally met his match. He's smart enough to know that. And they did such a good job with his entire dialogue and character.
That we'll say one thing.
To watch him die.
I was really interested in how they were going to play out a... Colonial America and the Assassin's Creed style of gameplay, where you're used to climbing these really tall buildings and things like that, and not only did they do that right, like, a lot of the buildings aren't really that tall, your high points are going to be like church steeples and things like that.
Once you get up on the steeple,
but a lot of it, once you learn to run in the trees, is running from house to tree to house to whatever, and you're in the frontier, it's tree running, but also a lot of it is jumping off your horse to assassinate a couple of guys, or like directing battles, like when you're directing some of the artillery battles, that's something different. That's pretty neat.
Did you like it when you got to take over that cannon?
Yeah.
And you're just blasting away those different fronts coming in?
Yeah, when you got the cannon team going on.
Stupid redcoats marching in line.
They're going to line up for you to shoot.
Yeah. It's a hard volley. Boom! Fucking cannon right in their face. Like, welcome to guerrilla warfare.
But I thought that was kind of neat. Like, it. Real, like those things, like the Battle of Bunker Hill, that was pretty
epic. That was epic. Yeah, I told you that was going to be epic, because you're at the bottom of fucking Bunker Hill, and there's just dugouts, and you just have to really pay attention. Yeah, you just have to really pay attention and watch for them to go ahead and fire, and you'll see it ricochet off the rocks behind the area you're hiding, and then you just book it to the next one as fast as possible, all the way down the trenches, past everything, and then around to the side, and it was pretty epic. That was a pretty badass part. And the entire landscape's war-torn. You see smoke everywhere. There's bodies, people getting blown away. Like, there's that one cannon fire that came in that took that dude's fucking, like, leg clean off.
Yeah.
Like, right in front of you in a cinematic. And it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
Might have to replay some of that in 3D.
Oh, yeah, I bet. It's pretty badass. But...
Overall, I mean, this game really holds strong. It was different from the other series. I mean... Mm. Some of the gameplay elements are obviously the same. You're obviously a very stabby guy, but it just takes it to a whole new level. I mean, just there's a lot of sneaking around, but you don't necessarily have to sneak around.
No, you can go full balls out. And sometimes I just decided to say fuck it, and I really tried to stick to the full synchronization stuff. You know, my first run through, just to see how hard it is. And sometimes when it didn't give me any restrictions on how to do something, just said, just do it. I go balls out and just kill for the sake of killing, and it's fucking visceral. I mean, when you slam that fucking hidden blade into some guy's neck and you twist it around and you can hear cutting through the windpipe and everything, you hear that, you know, like that, just all the way around, and the blood splash, you pull it out, and then you fucking kick him on the ground, turn around, do an instant kill on the next guy, and next guy, next guy, next guy. It's pretty fucking visceral.
Yeah, it definitely surprised the hell out of me. The tomahawk kills are really fun.
Yeah, those are fun as hell. So is the, was it the rope dart?
Yeah.
I like the rope dart, because you can hit, sit up in a tree, throw a lasso around a guy's neck, and just hang him. Just fucking hang him. And I used that with a group of guys that were patrolling through this restricted area, and they were in just perfect line, all four of them, and I had like five rope darts. So I just sat there and one after another, pull them up and hang them, go to the next branch, pull up the next one and hang them, until it was the last guy and just air assassinated him. And that was fucking hilarious. I thought it was funny as shit. It's the same thing with the convoys that run through the frontier. You just walk up behind the last guy, knife him, drop him to the ground, walk up to the next guy, knife him, and hopefully you can get through all of them until there's nothing left with the guys in the front, which then you have to fight. But it's fucking hilarious the way you can just sneak around and do that type of stuff and really, you know, strategize the whole thing out. And
there's some pretty difficult moments when you're on horseback, like it's like kill the messengers or whatever.
Yeah.
Or kill the scouts, and I remember just like hauling ass, and I'm like, pull out my pistol, shoot a guy while I'm riding, and just keep going, then do like a double air assassination on two guys, and then pick up one of their horses and keep trucking it.
Yep.
And then jump off my horse onto the next guy and kill him, and then use his horse.
See, for that one, I think the rule was do not touch the ground.
And that's how I did it. I used the pistol, double air assassination, jump onto the next guy on his horse, take his horse, jump onto the next guy, and that got me to the point where
I did was just ride up, jump on the dude, kill him, throw him off his horse, take his horse, and just go on the next one, and pull out my pistol for any guys on the ground, and just blow him away, and as it's reloading, just kind of go in a circle around the horse that I just, you know, jumped off of, so they can't hit me, and then come out and shoot him, so that way I keep out of the line of sight, and that was fun as shit, you know, just really, you got like, I think a minute and a half to run through this entire stretch of land, taking out as many of these guys, the certain amount of guys, and they're spread out pretty far, and it's very narrow pathways you're going through at high speeds on the horse. Pretty fucking, I think if they see you, they start booking it, so you gotta catch up to them as soon as you can.
So. You know, and all this, I don't know if we have a whole lot more to say about this game, but, and all this, the thing we didn't even touch on is multiplayer.
Yeah, we actually did not get a chance to play it. We kept talking about it.
I played some of it.
You did finally? Okay.
It's very much like the other multiplayer, but it goes up in tiers, gives you extra objectives as you go.
I think there's like 50 levels or something right now.
Maybe even more.
There might be. I know that there's an achievement for 50. I haven't seen anything above it. So there's probably more, but yeah.
It's pretty cool. You basically have... plays out a little bit differently than the other ones. There's a lot less highlighting of who's a bad guy and who's not. There's a lot of just trying to notice movement.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of places where you can just kind of stick with a group of guys and start walking.
Yeah, that's what.
And one of the ways that you can identify your target or somebody that's hunting you is you'll hear whispers when a guy gets close, but it won't tell you who it is.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll say, somebody's going to assassinate you, which is an unknown target, and then it'll give you a target, a portrait of one of the guys you're going to assassinate.
Yeah, the cat and mouse guy,
And so... as you're going around, your controller will vibrate a little bit when you're close to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually what you do is you look for somebody that's acting out. If you find somebody that's acting out, then you can go take them on. The best way to do it is use the crowd that you're in or whatever to kind of move past them. As you move past them, you just like knife them in the back.
Yeah.
Problem is that if somebody else is looking for you and they see you, then they're going to take you out. But it gives you a counter move. So you got a split second when that happens where if you see it, you can like hold down, I want to say left trigger if you're aiming at him, because you got a full 360 degree view on yourself because it's third person. But you can do a counter move if you pull it off at the right moment. If you identify the right target, that will knock him out of commission. It'll knock you off their radar.
Nice.
But you can get to a point where if you've identified somebody, you can lock onto them and lock onto their line of sight.
Nice.
So you can keep track of them as they go around the whole map.
I remember like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer had some really fun moments in it, like when you're playing I think it was the three-tier contracts where it's like, you were trying to hide from somebody while somebody was hunting you, and somebody was hunting that person, somebody was hunting that person.
That's how it works.
And I love those because I remember one time all of us kind of gave ourselves away, so there's just a group of us, all four running after, like, somebody was in the lead, another person behind them, another person behind them, another person behind them, running up buildings and shit. And I think I was the one chasing the guy. I didn't realize I had two people behind me. And I came up and I jumped and assassinated the guy. As soon as I assassinated him, I get taken down by somebody, and then I watch him get taken down by somebody.
It's like a train.
All in a fucking row. As soon as we jumped off a ledge, because he free fall down, and I just highlighted an air assassinator right on top of him, and it's just zing, 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 just one after another. So that was always entertaining as shit. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, so at some point you'll have to play that with me, and we'll have to talk about
it. Yeah,
definitely. Because it's different.
I love that stuff. Yeah.
Some of the little minigame stuff is actually really fun.
Oh, like playing checkers?
Yeah, that too. But I mean, just in general, the multiplayer is pretty enjoyable. I don't know how long the legs are on it, but I could see people probably playing it for a couple of months before, you know, the next DLC comes out here next year.
Yeah. Was
so,
that the
like I
King
do,
George one?
Yeah, and I do like how games nowadays, just I know some people are going to disagree with me, but having this extra content.
Yeah.
To fill it out while you're waiting on DLC or whatever. I just hope the DLC is long enough that it keeps you entertained for 5-10 hours or whatever.
Well, from what I can tell, I was sitting there looking at, inside the book that comes with the special edition, you have a full map of the original colonies, all in their little boxes going down because it was very boxy.
Yeah.
And you look at the map inside the game, and it has that entire thing, including the Caribbean, and just a little bit more up north. And there's a lot of empty space where they could go into some of the other places, like Rhode Island, all that crap.
Well, they had North South Carolina.
Yeah,
know.
They could have gone
moving to the frontier, like in Kentucky.
Yeah, and like I told you, oh yeah, I can bring this up now too. I forgot. Okay, did you go and play the two secondary missions after the game?
The thing with the pink, the. Just tell me.
Okay, well, there's two extra missions once you beat the game. One is you go back to your village, and there's this white dude just sitting by the fire.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know where everybody went. And I guess they got moved out further down. You talk to him for a little bit, and you're not really pissed at him because he had nothing to do with this, but you find out more about what happened to your people, and that could be somewhere where they go with the DLC is him trying to reclaim, you know...
His lost people.
Yeah, his lost people. But there's another one where you go into, I think, Boston, and there's a slave auction going on. And you actually see this group of people being auctioned off for slavery, and you stare at him, and he gets this really pissed off look on his face, because it's basically he's relating his people to them, you know, being displaced and treated like, you know, third-class citizens, you know, they're just being pushed around. And it's just one step below what his people are being treated like. And I said, that would be an awesome place to go with the DLC, is going to, like, Tubman, going to the Underground Railroad,
yeah.
Slavery, all that stuff. Be awesome to see them kind of go into that, and at the same time have, because easily they could probably fit the two together, where the mission to basically take care of all this slavery bullshit also ties in with him trying to reclaim his people. Or at least there could be actually a line being torn between where, you know, who do you really want to help? This whole nation of people, you know, this whole, you know, race of people, or your own people who have obviously moved on and found somewhere else, maybe. You know, you don't know what happened to them, but it'd be interesting to see. And I think that is kind of a tie-in to possibly some DLC, which would be cool. Especially for it to be two missions after you beat the game that really have no point other than to leave a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
obviously. I would love to see, you know, I hate racism.
Yeah.
I hate slave trading. So I would love to see, unless it's, you know, blonde girls. So I would love to see the assassins take on slave traders. That'd be awesome. You know, just to see them go into that. And make you say America every time you kill somebody. So I'm very excited to see what they get with it. Other than that, I think we covered a lot of the game. I mean, Minerva's been released. She's gonna enslave the entire world, possibly. She's evil as shit.
We'll just have to see where this goes.
Yeah, they definitely got me excited again for Assassin's Creed. So I was a little iffy on this one, and then I picked it up. I was very happy by the end of it. I was very impressed. Yeah, like the whole eagle soaring shit.
Yeah.
That's how Prey should have done it. I'm just gonna throw that out there. You get to fly as a fucking eagle through the earth, through fire and shit. And
I forgot
badass.
About that.
That was pretty badass. So... That comes after about 3.5 hours, 4 hours into the game. So,
yeah, it started slow, ended really strong.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's relentless at the end. So, that's pretty much our spoiler cast for Assassin's Creed. You know what happens now. You know what we're probably looking forward to in the future. Is there any little bit of news or anything?
Nah, we'll save all that for next week. There's nothing really going on. Look forward to Far Cry in 2 weeks.
Yeah, my only news is I did check out a bunch of shit for Dead Island Riptide.
Yeah.
I'm pretty psyched.
When does that come out?
I don't remember. I was so blown away by everything else. Sorry. I was pretty blown away by everything else. You know, I think it was an alpha build, and the graphics were fucking phenomenally badass. And now they're up into, I think the release build is, yeah, the actual release build is ready. So, and that's my ham in the oven for work potluck. Anyways.
April.
And, April, yeah, there we go. It looks pretty phenomenally badass. It is going to pick up with Logan and Sam B. So it's kind of the original characters. And it's supposed to basically follow the storyline of something happened with a helicopter, you end up crashing. And I think that at the end of Dead Island, you know that the guy flying the helicopter is the terrorist who basically caused all this crap.
Right.
And he's also the one who is posing as Ryder White at the beginning of the game, trying to get you to come to the island, because Ryder had nothing to do with that. He was posing as him. And he's taken the girl, the black girl who basically is the cause of the virus, and it's going to be epically global. I did see that Dead Island also trademarked the name Dead World. So,
we'll see what happens
with that. We'll see what happens with that. Maybe a little bit of wishful thinking, but I think they can probably pull it off. So, also bigger areas. Massively big. So, that's our spoiler cast. I don't think we really got anything else.
No.
No emails, no nothing.
No, I didn't even check. I was going to bring that all up next week.
We'll do it next week. Yeah.
So, we'll see you guys later. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, be safe.
Yep. Don't drink and drive.